impossible dream. The right, the unrightable wrong.
Well, hello out there in podcast land, and welcome to Full Disclosure. This is the podcast where we take popular movies and we spoil the living hell out of them and tell you if they're worth your time. I'm your host for this episode, Lou, doing a solo episode a little bit late on this one. I'm not going to lie, guys. We're about a month behind on this one, but I finally got to see John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, and I had to talk about it. I needed to get on. So if you have seen the movie, you can now get my thoughts on it. If you haven't seen the movie, you'll get a chance to hear my thoughts and what I had to say and decide whether or not this is something that you want to see. So as always on Full Disclosure, we go full spoilers here. We'll go through kind of the plot of the movie and I'll give you my thoughts on the movie. So you have been warned, full spoilers in 3, 2, 1. Okay. This movie is buck wild. I loved it. It's fantastic. John Wick does not die. Now, if you may already know that if you've heard that there was already in the announcement of John Wick Chapter 4, but of course you never know who he could have faked his death or come back to life or who knows what they would have done. But I'm glad they didn't go that route. They clearly knew when they made this movie that they were going to make a fourth one, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But we start this movie right off the heels of John Wick Chapter 2. It's less than an hour after the conclusion of Chapter 2, after he is made excommunicado and the bounty is put on his head. So the movie comes in super hot. The first 30 minutes of this movie, I think, are just exhilarating. And the best thing I could probably say about the movie is that the rest of the movie doesn't disappoint. It doesn't, I don't know if we match the energy of the first 30 minutes, but man, oh man, is there some really great stuff that's packed in. So the first 30 minutes is all about John Wick. First, he's got to like get his wounds sewed up from the previous movie. He's got to get other things. He's trying to get as much stuff taken care of before the excommunicado goes into effect. So there's like this ticking clock in the beginning, and it's super fun to watch him like kind of get paranoid of who's going to run out from him, who could attack him, and everybody's just kind of paying attention to him. And that also gets us the introduction to a new character to the franchise and one that I hope we see more of, and that's Jason Mantzoukas as the TikTok man. He is one of the minions for Lawrence Fishburne's character. And he basically shows him, hey, TikTok, Mr. Wick, you don't have that much time. So eventually the timer goes off and everything happens. And we get one of the most bonkers fight scenes right at the beginning of the movie that features John Wick killing a man with a book. And I don't want to go in further on that, but just to say it's an exhilarating fight sequence and it's such a badass kill. And there's a ton of those in that first 30 minutes where he's basically trying to fight his way out of New York to get to find some sort of safe haven. And in the meantime, Ian McShane's character, Winston, is still feeling a little bit of a blowback from the decision to even give him an hour, because we're introduced to another character, the Adjudicator, played by Asia Kate Dillon, who does really nice work in this movie. She is she works for the High Table, and she is there basically to discipline Winston as part of him not really going along and making the excommunicado as quickly as he could. So eventually, the Adjudicator admonishes Winston and the Bowery King, and she's going to do a couple of different things to both of them. But John's able to escape and goes to Casablanca, of all places, which is, I knew there were some desert shots from the trailer, but I wasn't expecting that. But he goes and meets up with Sophia, played by Halle Berry, and he has a marker to cash in order to get her help, because Sophia is running the Continental in Casablanca. So she shouldn't be helping him, but he does, but she has to because of the marker. And that sets up another great action sequence of fighting between John Wick and Sophia versus like this whole army of people with the assistance of their dogs. And dogs play like this, you know, kind of a big part in the movie. They really do keep that through line of the dogs from the first all the way up through the end. And it's just this excellent idea of how, you know, tying you back into the original purpose of this. And the other thing that was fun to think about is all of this has now happened because the John Wick franchise has basically been one continuous event. This has all happened over like the course of just a couple of weeks. So that's a lot of fun to get into as well. So we also in Casablanca, we get to see Jerome Flynn's character, who I was really excited to see. I did not realize he was in this movie, but that was so fun to see. He plays a character named Barada, who's the assassin's master of coin. Hey, he gets to be master of coin in two different things. And a member, and he's a member of the High Table. So eventually Halle Berry helps out John Wick, Sophia helps out John Wick, and having fulfilled her marker, Sophia leaves John in the desert. He roams, he's collapsed, he's found by the Elder's men. He goes and meets with the Elder, and the Elder agrees to forgive John, but only if he assassinates Winston and continues to work for the High Table. So now we're pitting John Wick up against Winston, but they both kind of come together and realize, okay, we're both screwed. And ultimately this leads to one of my favorite parts in the movie where the John Wick teams up with the concierge, Lance Reddick's character, Sharon, and they basically get all the guns in the world and they just start shooting up the High Table's army who's descended upon the Continental. The Continental then Winston has done is now considered no longer off limits. So there's this extended battle sequence that takes place there. And there's also this extended fight scene between John Wick and Zero, who's a Japanese assassin played by Mark Dacascos. And Mark Dacascos is clearly having a lot of fun in this role. He is chewing it up. He's a very hammy villain as opposed to Asia Kate Dillon's character, who's very stoic and is very, very business proper. And so it's a very nice dichotomy between those two characters. So anyway, they fight everybody off. But the adjudicator basically says, hey, more people are going to come. This isn't going to end. This war that you have started will keep going. We will not run out of people. Meanwhile, there's only three of you. So eventually the adjudicator negotiates a parlay with Winston, who offers penance to the High Table. So when John arrives, the adjudicator identifies him as a threat. Winston shoots John, causing John to fall off the roof of the Continental. The Continental then is allowed to return to its operation. It's reconsecrated, but the adjudicator informs Winston that John's body's disappeared and he still remains a threat for both of them. So where does John Wick go, you might ask? Well, earlier in the film, we got to see Lawrence Fishburne as the Bowery King get his discipline from the adjudicator, and that is in the form of seven cuts to the body by a sword. And you see him collapse and you think he's dead, but in the final scene we realize that John Wick is alive, or that the John Wick is alive and the Bowery King is alive, and he is brought down into the Bowery to the Bowery King, and they basically say they're now going to go to war with the High Table, and he will be fighting with the Bowery King and his army, John Wick will, including the TikTok man. So the fact that we're going to end this movie with the tease of a John Wick 4 that's going to give us Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, and Jason Mantzoukas is this like kind of, you know, triad of bat crazy fighters and gunmen is just amazing to me. So as much as I was anticipating this to be the conclusion of a trilogy, I'm really happy to say that there is room for a fourth. I don't feel that they haven't completed the story, and they just keep expanding the world, and they are expanding the world in a way that doesn't feel cheap. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways of this franchise, and one of the things I think that they've done very well is that they just keep showing you that there's more to this world, and it makes sense that there's more to this world, and that basically the High Table has feelers everywhere. They know everything. They've got people everywhere. And so nowhere you go is safe except basically underground. So that kind of makes sense that John Wick's now forced underground and he's going to have to fight his way up in the fourth one. So that's the plot in a nutshell. and there's so much fun stuff about it. To isolate just a couple of scenes, we talked about the fight in the bookstore. There's also just a magnificent sequence that was teased in the trailer, but they really don't give anything away of how cool it is, of John Wick fighting dudes with swords on motorcycles. That one is just every bit as fun as was teased. I also think all the performances in this movie are really outstanding. Obviously, Keanu Reeves loves the role of John Wick. You can tell he loves playing it, and he has grown into the role even more. He was perfect from the beginning. He continues to really expand it, and you still do get to see some of John Wick's, I won't say vulnerability because I don't think he's that necessarily that kind of a character, but the moments where he sees the pictures of his wife or is connected with his dog, all of those things just do show up and really remind you that somewhere in this guy's body is some sort of heart and some sort of motivation. I think Ian McShane as Winston is a lot of fun. I was expecting him to be the villain in this one. That was my prediction coming out of chapter two. And turns out he's going to be part of the villain of chapter four. I don't know, because he does turn on John Wick at the end of this. But I also love the rapport that he and Keanu Reeves have built over this franchise. So I hope we do get some more of that in the fourth one. Lawrence Fishburne is so badass. He's always great. He's outstanding. Halle Berry is so good in this movie, and I hope she comes back in the fourth one. We really don't get to see as much of her as I thought we were going to. She's basically there for the second act to the film, and then her character just goes away once John Wick leaves Casablanca. Lance Reddick, it was good to see him get to do a lot more badass stuff, which, if you know, those of us know him from some of his other work, was exciting to see. And we didn't even get to talk about Angelica Houston, and this is maybe the part that we start to learn a little bit about who John Wick is and how he came to be. So Angelica Houston plays the director. She's this member of this Rusco Roma Society John Wick once belonged to. It's basically like this training ground where there's all like sort of combat and dancing and like this like very like swanky orphanage, I guess is the best way to put it. And she's just kind of chewing the scenery and having a good time. But it also gives us a little bit of insight of, okay, how did John Wick become the man he is? And they don't spend that much time on it. They spend enough time to give you this without just like shoehorning in some origin story for an origin story's purpose. And that's what I think chapter three does better than chapter two. One of my criticisms of chapter two was they introduced a villain who was never mentioned in the first film, and it felt disjointed. I never felt that anything that was brought in chapter three felt disjointed. It makes sense that John Wick would go to the director because that's the one place he thinks he could feel safe. It makes sense he would go all the way to Casablanca to somebody he has a marker out for. So everything felt like a more organic addition to the series as opposed to the second one, which felt like they forced a couple of things. And I think that probably has something to do with the fact that John Wick 2 was never planned. But it seems to me once they wrote John Wick 2, they already had a 3 in mind. And when they wrote 3, they clearly seemed to have a 4. So there's a little bit more continuity that happens between 2 and 3 as opposed to 1 and 2. But ultimately, I think this movie is outstanding. I think this so far is the movie of the summer. I think that's not saying much right now for what we've had so far in the summer, but this movie delivers exactly what you want it to deliver and delivers it in a way that's expertly crafted. People can say what they want about sequels or franchises, but this movie proves that sequels aren't a bad thing if they're done right. You know, people aren't anti-sequels, they're anti-bad movies. And this is not a bad movie. This is a very good movie. And it delivers what you want it to deliver. The fight sequences, the choreography are still amazing. Keanu Reeves still does amazing things for a man of his age. And he's not, you know, I'd say he's like 70 or something, but you can still see the camera work, the close-up on the action sequences, that he is doing a lot of this combat on his own. And then it still doesn't lean too heavily on CGI, which again was a criticism I had of the second one. I think whatever CGI issues they had, they worked out, or they lessened them to a degree in this to really still give it the feel of the first one. It's still a lot bigger. It's still a lot more lavish than the first one, but that's to be expected when you have sequels that just keep making more money than the previous one. And I'm sure they've got some insane set pieces in mind for Chapter 4, and I'm 100% here for it. So I would say John Wick 3 for me ranks higher than John Wick 2, and it's an interesting discussion to have between it and the first John Wick. I think that first one, the discovery of that movie and how unexpectedly great it is and the simplicity of it, I don't know. It feels like they're two, they're the same movie, but they're almost different just because of how much the franchise has evolved. So I think I'd put them right on even playing fields. It's everything that you want from a John Wick movie. Great action, great kills, good performances by some great actors. It's great. And if you haven't seen it, you should go see it before it leaves theaters. And if you don't get to see it, it's going to be coming out, I'm sure, on digital and DVD sometime soon. So hope that clears it up. Hope that lets you know. So I know on Full Disclosures, we do a rating of on 1 to 10. I'm going to go with a 9 on this. I think it's that high. I don't often go with a 10, I think, on anything, because I guess I'd have to watch it a second time to tell you why I don't think it's a perfect film. But I mean, I had a great time from start to finish. And if you like the John Wick movies, you're obviously going to love this movie. I don't know of anybody that would disagree with that statement. And I'm more excited about a John Wick 4 than I thought I would be. So kudos to the filmmakers. Kudos to everyone who pulled that off. So definitely make sure you check out John Wick Chapter 3. You will not be disappointed. And make sure you check out everything else that we're doing on the Front Row Network. We have so much stuff that's going on right now. So much so it took me a month to see John Wick Chapter 3. But we will have some more full disclosures on some more recent films. I know the Beyond the Mouse podcast is doing a full disclosure on Toy Story 4. I know that Phil and Ryan are doing a full disclosure on Child's Play. I'm excited to hear all of those. And also, we're going to be doing a lot of different stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. We recorded our greatest sports movie bracket podcast, which is going to be coming out at a later date. If you can't wait, you can go see the Raw live feed on our YouTube channel. But we also had a great roundtable discussion about the year in film 1994. That podcast will be coming out in a little bit. Also on classics, there was a great discussion that I had with Brandon and Steve on Blazing Saddles. And then, of course, my show, Guilty Pleasures, we just recorded an episode for Drop Dead Gorgeous, which was a listener request. We had a lot of fun on that. We're going to be having Wild Wild West, Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, Tango and Cash, Cool World, lots of cool stuff coming out. So please make sure you're dialed in to everything that we're doing. You can follow me on Twitter at The Fake Lou Hair. So make sure you are following us on Facebook, The Front Row Network. You're dialed into our website, frnpod.com. You're following us on Twitter at Front Row Reviews with a Z. Catch up on all of that stuff. So until next time, I'm Lou Hare, and as always, we'll see you in the front row.